Commission meeting here on Tuesday, June 6th. It's 6 o'clock, and I will call this meeting to order. If we can have a roll call, please.
Commissioner Mack?
Here.
Commissioner George?
Here.
Commissioner Fowler Payne?
Here.
Commissioner Shiro is absent. Chair Martin?
Here. Very good, thank you. If we can have that flag salute. Commissioner George? Get into the meat of the meeting here tonight. I'm wondering if there's any agenda review or anyone on the commission wants to revise the order, has any questions about the agenda as it was published?
I do not.
No. Very good. At this time, the public comment period is opened. It's an invitation to members of the community to present issues, thoughts, or suggestions on matters that are not scheduled on this agenda. Comments should be limited to those matters that are within the jurisdiction of the Planning Commission. The Brown Act restricts the Commission from taking formal action on matters not published on the agenda. And the Commission requests that public comment be limited to 3 minutes and be accompanied by voluntary submittal of a speaker slip to facilitate meeting organization and preparation of our minutes. Is there anybody in our audience tonight that wishes to speak or address the Commission on an item not on the agenda tonight? Seeing none, we'll close public comment and then ask if there's any additional written communications that were received for the meeting tonight.
None this evening.
Very good. We have on the consent agenda 3 items. We have the approval of the minutes from the meeting of May 16th, and there are 2 others. There's a lot merger 17001 at 825 Virginia Drive and a certificate of compliance. This is 17001, a location at 1475 El Camino Real. If there are any questions or comments, I'm certainly happy to entertain a motion for this consent agenda item.
I have no comments on any of the items.
I have none.
Move to approve consent agenda items 7A, 7B, and 7C.
I'll second the motion.
We have a motion and a second. We have a roll call vote, please.
Commissioner George?
Yes.
Commissioner Mack?
Yes.
Commissioner Fowler Payne?
Yes.
And Chair Martin?
Yes. Consent agenda passes unanimously. Under the public hearing, tonight we have a single item, a consideration of conditional use permit number 17002, approximately 5,000 acre addition to the Rio Grande Hospital Emergency Department at South Halcyon. I can almost talk here tonight. We just have a staff report on this item at this point. Thank you.
Okay. Give us 1 second while we fix these technical difficulties. All right, there we go. Thank you. Chair Martin, members of the Planning Commission. Tonight, as you mentioned, we're looking at consideration of conditional use permit 17-002. This is an approximately 5,000 square foot addition to the Arroyo Grande Community Hospital's emergency department. So just so we all, we pretty much all know where the hospital is here in our fine city. It's zoned office mixed use. It's located at 345 South Halcyon. It's also included in the D2.20 overlay district, which basically limits the use for hospital or functional related uses. And surrounding land uses include commercial and office spaces, mostly on the Halcyon corridor to the north, as well as residential to the south and to the east as well. The proposed project is the expansion of the emergency department by 4,975 square feet. This does include the removal of 25 existing parking spaces and the realignment of the drive aisle to the north entrance of the main Halcyon Road entrance. The intent of the project is to increase the layout efficiency of the emergency department, increase patient privacy, improve emergency service, as well as reduce waiting times. So here, you know, that's great to see it in a bunch of text, but here's essentially the graphical depiction of the project. So eliminating a row of parking, as well as another row of parking to accommodate this realigned drive aisle, expanding the emergency department and the building by approximately 5,000 square feet, as well as redoing some interior space in the existing emergency department to make sure the entire flow works. So starting off with the intent of the overlay and zoning district, so the primary purpose of the OMU zoning district is to provide areas for the establishment of corporate, administrative, and medical office and facilities, commercial services that are required to support major business, medical development, as well as multifamily housing. So this fits right in that zoning district. Additionally, it is, as I mentioned, covered by the D2.20 overlay, which is intended to provide for sufficient land for the orderly development of the hospital and all the functionally related medical facilities associated therewith. And in the zoning district and the overlay, the hospital expansion is permitted with the approval of the conditional use permit. That's why we're here tonight. One thing I did want to mention, the OMU zoning district does limit overall structure size to 50,000 square feet. However, in the 2.20 overlay district, you are allowed to go above and beyond the 50,000 square feet through the CFP process. The hospital currently is already well beyond the 50,000 square foot limit, and all other development standards are met for this project. So talking about the architecture associated with these, with this proposal, actually it looks better on the screen than it does on the computer. So we're looking at new beige paint, so making it brighter, including this Eldorado stone wainscot down at the bottom, including plaster cornices up on near the top of the building, roofing on these extended portions that are consistent with the existing roofing materials out at the hospital, as well as providing mechanical screening of equipment back beyond the roof parapet. Now, these changes are intended to be incorporated with the remainder of the hospital in the future, so as additions are done and the facelift continues, these new features will be included around the remainder of the hospital architecture. So here's a little more fun rendering here. So this is the perspective looking at it from kind of the southwest aerial view. And so you can see the expansion area and the realigned drive aisle, as I've mentioned, in the updated architectural, some of the architectural details. So with regard to vehicular access, all the access points remain unchanged with the proposed project, so there's currently four. There's the primary entrance on Halcyon, where you basically, if you were to drive straight, you'd run right into the front of the hospital. That one is functionally, not functionally being changed. It will remain. It does connect that drive aisle right here, and that is being revised. But all the other points, there's a secondary access point further up, further north on Halcyon. That will remain as well. All the vehicular access points on Fair Oaks will also remain. So none of the access points are being modified with this proposed project. The drive aisle, again, to the north of this main Halcyon entrance is what's being redone with this project. So it's being shifted closer to Halcyon, closer, further west, and a majority of the parking is being eliminated. So you can see that the applicant's proposing to retain a few spaces, with the ADA spaces being primarily located in as close proximity to the entrance as they can get. Parking. So, the hospital, we've heard through the years that the hospital has impacted parking. The hospital knows that, and they've been working with staff to address it. So, with regard to required parking for hospitals, we do actually have a hospital use category for in our parking requirements. It's required at a rate of one space per employee on the largest shift and one per bed in the hospital. So, as a result of the project, 183 employees would be included on the largest shift, and the 67 beds would remain. So we'd have a parking requirement of 250 spaces. Now we mentioned they're removing 25 of those spaces. So if we look at that, we're looking at 205 spaces. Recently, the community development director did approve 50 spaces in a temporary parking lot on the vacant portions, vacant lots to the east of the hospital site that the hospital now has under ownership. And so including this in that total is 255 total spaces. One thing I did want to mention, I counted 32 spaces to the main entrance off of Halcyon to the south. Those are typically reserved for other uses and staff. All of those will actually be, that reservation will be eliminated with the approval of the expanded temporary parking. So all of those will actually be available for patients to park closer to the main entrance and help compensate for the removed parking on the north or northern drive aisle. And parking continued. I wanted to talk a little bit more about the temporary lot that we approved. So we've been working with the hospital as they continue to do their master planning on their whole campus now that they have acquired the two vacant parcels to the east. And rather than having them put permanent improvements in that then when they get the master planning done, they are required to rip out and do their actual construction work, we've been working with them to try and do a temporary parking lot. So we were also concerned about it being turning temporary into permanent. So we did, in working through some of those conditions, we did condition that project to have an approval allowed for 2 years. The requirement for after the first year to actually have the campus master plan well underway or presented at culmination to the satisfaction of the community development director by May of 2018. If that hasn't, then the requirement would be kicked in to actually have that turn into permanent parking by the end of the two-year approval. So first stop would be 1 year facility campus master plan, second year permanent parking. You can see in one of the special conditions, we've actually conditioned the project to provide all the required parking for the expansion at all times. So therefore, the hospital would have to construct the temporary parking prior to the construction of the and expansion of the emergency department. So therefore, that parking would already be accommodated by the time they end up losing the existing parking. As well as if the temporary approval runs out for the 50 spaces, then they have to actually turn that permanent and essentially make that investment up front. And as the master planning goes forward, if they are required to remove that as part of their facility master plan, that would occur at a later date. But we're trying to give them some flexibility and trying to work with the hospital to address this issue and do it in such a way that it doesn't necessarily cost them a whole lot of money up front, but at the same time still providing the service that the community needs. So with regard to landscaping, they are removing 11 trees with this proposed project. They're in a variety of different health status at the current time, but they are including one new flowering cherry tree with the project, as well as seven new Pittosporum shrubs, which if you have Pittosporum in your yard, they get pretty tall and can act tree-like, but they're still shrubs. The ARC did discuss the landscaping at their meeting, and they did recommend to the applicant to include some more vertical landscaping up against the building to help soften the building's massing, but they did not require it of the project. And I did want to note that the tree requirements for parking lots, the one tree per five spaces that we require in the municipal code is still met with this proposed project. And so here's that visually depicted. So this is the area where the ARC was talking about more vertical landscaping to help soften that building massing. In terms of advisory committee reviews, the staff advisory committee reviewed the project on May 24th. At that time, they discussed the requirement to relocate a storm drain, new easements required for that storm drain relocation to make sure that the city can get in and maintain it, as well as patient access and flow through the hospital site and emergency response equipment. That's being that we are talking about the emergency department, I always get tripped up on emergency response equipment. So it's basically the fire alarm panels and things like that with the interior. Architecture Review Committee also reviewed the project on May 15th. At that time, they discussed patient parking, all of the architectural treatments that are being applied to the project, screening of rooftop equipment, as well as landscaping, as I previously mentioned. And they were in support of the project as proposed. So staff did review the project in accordance with CEQA and determined that it is categorically exempt per Section 15301E2 of the CEQA guidelines regarding additions to existing structures. And with regard to public notification, we did mail out public hearing notices to all property owners within 300 feet of the hospital site. It was also published in the Tribune, posted at City Hall on the city's website, and a sign was posted at the hospital itself on May 26th. The agenda and staff report for tonight were posted at City Hall and on the city's website in accordance with the government code, and staff has not received any public comments up to this point. And so with that, it's recommended that the Planning Commission adopt a resolution approving the conditional use permit tonight, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Downing. Are there any questions from the commission here tonight?
I had a few. Thank you. Is the current hospital fully fire sprinkled?
I don't know. I would defer that to the applicant.
Okay. So with the parking statistics you shared, we're actually gaining 25 parking stalls that they currently do not have, correct?
That's correct, yes.
And then with the loss of 7 trees and only 1 proposed tree and the other shrubs, is that in conformance to our current tree ordinance?
Yes, I mean, obviously, if the commission felt that mitigation trees are appropriate, you can condition the project. With the readjustment of the drive aisle, the ability to plant massive street trees, you'd have to be very particular about the street tree variety along Halcyon. But there are other opportunities to include additional landscaping. But, yes.
Another question. I know it's not a new facility, it's been there, but has the traffic commission at all reviewed the in and outs, coming in and out of the current?
No.
To the stoplight and everything?
No, and we did discuss that when determining if it needed to go to the traffic commission because we were not altering an access point. We didn't believe that it was necessary to have the traffic commission review that, and that was also the opinion of the city engineer.
So it's not necessarily a question of altering the access point, but the frequency in which the access point is now going to be increased in density or vehicle trips. That would just be a question for them.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Good evening. Can you go back to the slide that showed the rendering? Can you show me where the entrance is to that? The new entrance or would be?
Into the emergency department. It will remain actually in its current location, right behind this porte-cochere, right there approximately.
And are there any other access points to get into the building, or is that the only one?
My understanding is there are other access points on the north side of the building and on the east side of the building. I would defer to the applicant for precise location.
Okay. And just around the bend from that, you are keeping the 3 ADA parking spots to the north of it. The 3 are remaining there.
Correct, right. Okay.
So has a traffic study been done within the parking structure, parking lot to determine how efficiently the parking is currently?
Traffic study or parking study?
Parking study.
No, a parking study was not provided for the proposed expansion, given that they do meet the municipal code requirements.
And when was the last time the municipal code requirements was updated?
I was unable to locate a precise update date. I do know it's been in place for some time.
Okay. account for people coming in and out and doing whatever procedures that are just day procedures. We don't account for that at all.
Correct. So the code does, it is, I'll say, a generic industry kind of standard parking requirement. And it is the employees on the largest shift. So we would anticipate that when there is the transition of nursing care, when you have that total number of employees present, that would be considered the largest shift. So it won't always be completely full or impacted. But to address your point, it is just a more generic standard that looks at the total number of employees and number of beds.
So without a parking study, there's really no way for us to know if losing 25 parking spots right there would be a detriment to the community or not.
Well, all I can say is that it does meet the municipal code requirement.
Updated municipal code requirement. That's my concern, right? Because we've been talking about updating our parking, and we haven't quite gone all the way there yet. So I hate to move forward with a project that's going to be removing 25 parking spots, albeit I know that they're going to be moving over to an off-site spot. You're just, the access in the front there makes it so if you remove that, people who have difficulty getting in or need to get in quickly and have to park on the side and make their way all around, and I'll ask the applicant later which doors are open, but most likely in the evenings, the only door that's going to be open is the main one. So that's a pretty long trek to make all the way around for people who are not as mobile as others.
And I will say, you know, you're hearing your point, I would defer to the applicant on some of the services that they are moving to other facilities away from the hospital, as well as their intent on emergency room drop-offs and things like that. So it's been explained that in an emergency situation, absolutely come park under the portico, get your person in the door, and then move your vehicle at a later time. But I'll defer to the applicant to expand on that.
And the 32 existing parking spots to the south, will any of those be converted to accommodate more handicap parking?
My understanding, after talking to the applicant earlier, that they do have more ADA spaces than is required by state law. But any additional spaces, I would have to defer to them if they're thinking about that in the future.
Okay. And then talking about the master parking plan, were you able to find any old records regarding the acute care?
Not the acute care specifically. I know that the applicant does have a presentation tonight, and that does include some history. Again, we've been trying to work with them as they could acquire these additional properties and facilities to do that entire campus master plan to determine what facilities and services do we need to provide in the community in the future, what building space does that require, what would the parking requirements then be, and how do we best provide all of those services on our campus. So we've been working with them with that, with the expansion of the construction of the medical office building to the east as well. These are all opportunities to better serve the community and get all the services in a close proximity. But I would defer to the applicant for that.
Okay. And then my last question is, the permit expires in 2018 or 2019? June 6, 2019, it'll expire. So that's 2 years from now, so hopefully 2 years from now we'll have an updated parking code, parking requirements. I know that the Planning Commission is really heavily vested in updating our parking code. So is it possible then to later on revise that expiration to allow for, if the permit does come to expiration, that whatever new parking code we adopt from now until then, it's adopted at that time so that they're not grandfathered into what's currently in code now?
Sure. So the time limits of the approval in front of you tonight is 2 years, unless a building permit is issued for the project.
Right.
So if a building permit is issued at that point, the expiration requirement essentially goes away.
Right.
If in the future they come back and need to amend this conditional use permit or pull a new conditional use permit for new facilities, we would take a look at the parking in place at that time.
those are all my questions for now. I'm sure I'll have more.
Thank you. Commissioner Fowler Payne, do you have some questions?
No, I have no questions or comments other than I think this is long overdue, having been in and out of that emergency room several times with kids and parents. So I'm glad to see something is being done.
Take this opportunity to allow the applicant to come up and make a presentation or add whatever they would like to add on the project.
So, is this on? Chair Martin?
Yes.
And the other members of the Planning Commission, thank you for allowing us to present. We're excited about the project. I also have with me, so Ken Dale about administrator of the hospital, also with me. I have Deborah Whittle, who's our architect with PMSM, Jason Weller, who's our general contractor with Specialty Construction, and Todd Smith from Canon, and then others in the audience who are here to support the hospital. I want to give a little just, you can't put the administrator of the hospital in front of you and then not talk about the hospital. So I'm going to go through some history and hopefully through that address some of the questions that were already raised.
I hate to interrupt you right at the very front end. We do need your name.
Ken Dale about
into the record. Thank you.
Administrator of Oregon Grand Community Hospital. Let's just talk about the hospital a bit. Founded in 1962, it was founded by four physicians, doctors Wickle, Bailey, Cookson, Scott, and Alexander, who were really pioneers and advocates for the community to found the hospital for the citizens, residents of South County. It went through several ownership changes until 2004 when Dignity Health acquired the hospital and started to make the hospital what it is today, which we are very proud of. The hospital has a couple firsts. 1971, it founded the Arroyo Grande Community Hospital Volunteer Auxiliary, or the first volunteer auxiliary on the Central Coast. 1981, the first hospital, a hospital was installed here on the Central Coast at Arroyo Grande. That was big news. On a more serious note, in 2009, the Arroyo Grande Community Hospital Cancer Center was accredited, the first accredited cancer center on the Central Coast and in San Luis Obispo County also. And then last, in this last decade, Arroyo Grande Community Hospital has been the only hospital that has been listed with CalPERS where you could have elective orthopedic surgery between Fresno, San Francisco, and Los Angeles. So I just say that because that's the quality of hospital that we have here in the community. Hospital has grown over the years. 1975, the hospital expanded from 30 beds to 79 beds. In 77, the ER and surgical suites were upgraded. And then in 1990, the existing image of the hospital with the two entrances and the expanded emergency department was constructed. And then the last addition was in 2011 when the acute rehab service was expanded to the hospital. We truly feel the hospital is where our family, friends, and neighbors are treated. We take that seriously. In any given year, 3,000 patients are admitted into the hospital. The emergency department now sees over 27,000 visitors per year. And 91, when we do a demographic study, 91% of those people have local addresses. So these are really, those being seen in the emergency department is us. The acute rehab unit is the only hospital-based acute or rehabilitation center between Santa Barbara and Salinas. It serves the entire Central Coast. We do exit patient satisfaction surveys. Independent company does that, and 9 out of 10 people say that they, after they have been leave the hospital, they would recommend the hospital without hesitation, which is a high standard to meet. In addition to emergency visits and inpatients, we see over 60,000 other outpatient visits or procedures per year. And as we talked about, where the question was raised, the hospital is acutely aware of our parking impact. And so we have proactively been looking at these outpatient services and trying to find a way to provide those to the community and decompress the hospital we've been very fortunate to have been able to acquire the land just north of the hospital. And on that land, it is where we will be constructing our temporary parking with 50 spaces that then adds to, is part of this project in terms of providing the parking. Transition a little more into the emergency department. The current emergency department was opened in 1990, was sized to accommodate about 16,000 visits. We now are seeing in that footprint 27,000 visits. This expansion is really to get up to speed on our current volume. It does provide for future growth, but as we talk about anticipated increase density of traffic to the campus, we're already seeing that, and this is really to correct the issue of seeing too many patients in a small footprint of the ED. It's adding 5,000 square feet to the existing, just under 92,000 square feet. The expansion itself will expand from 11 rooms to 18 patient rooms. Those rooms will be private, both for, and what that does is it creates an atmosphere of comfort and privacy and security. We currently, the most used rooms that we have are a bay of three beds with curtains in between. That's going to be eliminated. That space will be converted from three beds to two beds. That will be private rooms. That's just one of the advantages of doing this. Of course, the square footage then, we go from three to two, and so that square footage is needed to take up other, to provide other things. What we'll be able to do afterwards, we'll have dedicated specialty rooms, a dedicated isolation room, a dedicated GYN gastroenterology room. We'll have a room dedicated for behavioral health issues, bariatric, and then also trauma patient rooms. Great addition is we currently, for the 11 rooms, have one bathroom. We will be adding additional bathrooms. We'll have four patient bathrooms. We'll give back to staff some workspace, lounge, storage that we don't currently have. And then the last part is the enhanced entrance triage intake. We already, I will say, 85% of our patients are seen from entrance to seeing a doctor in under 30 minutes. It's excellent, but we do have a space issue. The intake will help to be able to improve that into the future. With that, I am going to turn, put him over to Deborah Whittle. We'll talk about more of the specifics of the design of the expansion.
Thank you, Ken. Is this how I drive? Okay. Hello and good evening, Planning Commissioners, Mr. Mack. I'm Deborah Whittle. I'm with PMSM Architects, and it's been very rewarding being a member of this team that has been working on a project that's going to be so beneficial to the community of Arroyo Grande. And as Ken mentioned, the current patient demand exceeds the original design capacity of the existing emergency department. And the addition that we are proposing will decompress the overcrowding that many of you may have experienced if you've ever had to go into the ER at the hospital. And I'm going to attempt to get back. So do you have a floor plan in here? Right. Next one. Thank you very much. Okay. The new layout results in better patient flow, improved staff efficiencies, and new support spaces. And I apologize if I'm repeating a lot of stuff that Ken's already said, but I guess you could say we're on the same page. But the most important thing about this design is it's going to give you private treatment rooms, which it provides you with the dignity that you deserve when you're seeking emergency medical care. It's got much better circulation for staff to improve their ability to continue to provide high-quality health care. They've been doing an amazing job in a space that's less than half the size, and you can imagine that this is really necessary. And given the layout of the existing emergency department, the location of this addition was really the only way that we could retain the use and functions of the existing entry point from the hospital, the existing drop-off canopy, and all of the existing circulation and other spaces that tie into the hospital's x-ray imaging and surgery spaces. So this really was the right place for this addition to accomplish this. The team feels that it's important for the building to have some local identity. The new facade acknowledges the vernacular of the village, which has become a source of community pride. And it does remain consistent with the existing hospital building in terms of massing materials and heights. The exterior draws upon the vernacular village aesthetic through the use of proportions, fenestration patterns, material selections, and the massing. We've broken up a large building into bite-sized pieces along the halcyon frontage. The structure, materials, and colors we have chosen match and integrate into the existing hospital building while reinforcing local identity, establishing the campus as belonging to and serving the community of Arroyo Grande. And at this time, I'd like to answer any questions you have, and I'd also like to request the room to come back up and answer any questions that might be presented during public comment. Is there anyone else from our group that wants to speak? Are there any questions before I sit down?
Before you sit down, let me just scan the commissioners up here and see if there is any questions before we open it to public comment. But you will be given certainly an opportunity to respond should questions come from the community.
Okay.
Commissioners, questions?
I just have one question. Where is the emergency going to be relocated while you're doing the reconstruction?
I'm going to go back to the floor plan, and I can answer that question. I don't have a laser. This button here? Okay. The line that Ken is drawing up, just go up and down vertically right there. The existing emergency department is to the right, and it will remain completely functional while we build the addition to the left. And so since this new addition is outside of the footprint of the existing emergency room, it won't affect it during the construction. And then we have very few minor interior phases just to pop through and open up the wall.
That's all.
Commissioner Mack?
I have a few questions. Did you hear the question I asked of staff earlier about the, is it currently fire sprinkled, the building?
It is.
Fully.
Okay. And the new addition, of course, will be as well. If you can go to more of a site plan, the question for me is if you can do with your laser pointer an emergency, let's say an ambulance is coming from the beach or something, how does it arrive at the site or its destination?
So an ambulance would enter here and back into the emergency room as it does now. So that doesn't change.
So it doesn't come through the roundabout, through the main entrance there, and come through the roundabout, through that new entrance, through that existing entrance?
Yeah, so ambulance traffic remains the same.
So one of my concerns is if ambulances do or do in the future come through that roundabout or emergency vehicles, the left-hand turn maneuvers would be cutting off that emergency vehicle from coming in, and I just wanted to be clear in my mind. You know, is it safe for emergency vehicles coming in and out and never coming through that other driveway? I would still be concerned about left-hand maneuvers crossing the path of an ambulance.
So in the history of the hospital, has an ambulance ever come in through that driveway?
Not that I know.
You know what my question is, or what my statement is all about, is traffic.
and it's not necessarily traffic for the people that are coming and parking, but potential conflict with emergency vehicle. And that's you clarified it in my mind and what the main entrance is and where the ambulances are coming in, and that's great. You did that. The off-street parking, the new parking lot, who's that predominantly going to be used by?
So we're now designating the new parking lot, the temporary for employees.
Okay.
And so what that does is it will decompress some of the parking back here and here. It allows for more patient and visitor access. We talked about access. Currently, there is a access door here that all employees can access. And so relocating employees here creates convenient access to them. Currently, except for the two front entrances, all the doors are secure. And that's a requirement. We need to make sure that we maintain security and knowing who's in the hospital and having that focus point of access is how we do that. In the future, when the medical office building is constructed, and there's maybe some cross traffic between the two, and when this parking up front is eliminated, we're looking at developing a secured entrance here, which allows for a path of travel between the MOB and the back to the hospital. Then the other, this parking here, which is now undesignated, would be designated as emergency parking.
Emergency parking.
For those that are ambulatory, not ambulance, but those walking in.
Exactly.
They can drop off and then go park in front of them.
And, you know, historically that area has been heavily utilized by all of the outpatient services that have now been relocated into other spaces. And if you recall in the slides, that was like 60,000 patients a year that have been shifted off of this campus.
All 60,000 have been shifted?
Yeah. That's 60,000 of common level patients.
Right.
I will say just the physical therapy accounts for about 8 parking spaces per hour for staff and patients coming in and out. So there's, 8 more parking spaces that have moved across the street.
And general rules of thumb with emergency room designs, the 32 spaces down below for the size of a department are more than adequate.
So now that we have identified different groups of individuals that are parking, whether they're employees or emergency patrons or the public coming to visit, are they signed as such? Are we going to be doing signage for the different parking areas?
So this will be signed as emergency parking.
Okay.
And I won't sign this, but this temporary parking will be specifically identified as employee. Employees will be encouraged to park there.
That's the answer I'm looking for.
Okay.
On your rendering, on your 3D, if you can jump to that real quick. I like it. It looks great.
Thank you, John.
The question is those three vertical trees that are shown on the new addition, are we really getting something that high when it's showing shrubs?
So the pedosporums that were called out on the landscaping plan, proper care can get about that tall. The administrator has requested Japanese maples. And
okay.
We're going to try very hard to get Japanese maples in that spot. That's what we've drawn.
And then they can get up to 14, 16, 18 feet.
Yeah.
I think you do need some vertical landscaping elements. And when I heard and saw the initial presentation with staff being shrubs, I was really concerned. And
you might have recognized that this changed since then with the introduction of those trees there. Yeah, it was as a result of those comments at ARC. We're also looking at some trellis walls, plant trellis vertical, that you can grow vines up.
Okay. Fantastic.
Just
two spaces. I'm sorry, I got confused. Are those going to be designated now, or are those designated when the new building gets built? I wasn't sure.
Those will be designated when construction starts, and these parking spaces are limited.
Okay. And I'm just going to ask, just for giggles, I know that you had mentioned in your presentation that this location was the best location. Why wouldn't it have worked if you had just put it to the north and just moved the ambulance bay, pushed out that way, and then get rid of parking on the side there so that people who need to access the hospital have the 32 spaces and people who need to access the ER have the other 25?
We did look at that, and we studied it extensively, and it would have resulted in the abandonment of the existing emergency department due to, you know, this, it became this long, linear, stretched out department with the ambulances coming in the back and ambulatory patients coming in the front. It just wasn't able to have the flow and the efficiency that the physicians desired and needed.
And not being in the hospital business, is it common to not have a lot of parking in the front? Is it is there a study that says people who visit hospitals should be able to walk a certain distance? Like, is it unreasonable to expect that if this is now all, the south parking is all for ER, then anyone that is just going to the hospital has to park way up on the north? Is that common, or?
It's not uncommon. I do work all over the state, from Mission Viejo all the way up through Napa. And, you know, being in a more rural area, we kind of get spoiled by having ample land and lots of parking, and that's just not always the case when you need to start growing your facility to serve the needs of the community, and so you can't always have that luxury of having that parking space right at your front door.
And I know that I had asked about the master parking plan. Do you guys have a plan?
We currently do not have a finalized master plan, and that's why, working with the city, they are gracious to do the 2 years, and so in a year we'll have a final plan.
Was there ever intent to have a master plan when the acute rehab was developed?
Yeah, I wasn't here when that plan was submitted and that was developed. We have intended to have one for several years. There's a couple of factors that play into that. One is the seismic codes have continually changed, and so as soon as you think you understand the longevity of the hospital, there's a new code that's introduced that pulls back into some planning. And then just the continual development of the campus has altered that plan, and so we do not have something that's final that's for public, but we now have this emergency department and a parking lot that is really pushing the envelope or pushing the decision. So,
okay. I just want to make sure that it doesn't get overlooked.
Correct.
I just don't want to see more buildings and more buildings and more buildings, and then the parking just kind of gets, you know, pushed to the wayside, because it is a hospital. It's not like an elementary school where everyone's super healthy and can walk as far as they want to walk. So that's just... And don't get me wrong, I think this is a great project, and I think you guys did a fabulous job with the design in the front. I agree. The taller trees, I love Japanese maples, so that's a beautiful addition if you're able to do that. Because it's parking, and parking is such a hot topic in this community, I just really want to make sure we do our due diligence and ask you all the questions that we need to ask, so that when the project does move forward, that we know in good conscience that we did everything we could to make sure that the users of the hospital can actually get to the facility where you're going to offer the amazing care.
So I appreciate that. And we share that same concern.
And as a point of reference, at Sierra Vista Hospital there in San Luis Obispo, their primary entrance doesn't have the drive around right by that entrance, but there's an awful lot of parking that you've got to hoof it in order to get into that entrance. So it's not dissimilar, I don't think, on an overall basis. A French hospital, a little more unique. They've got a lot more parking right there by the entrance. But it's a tough nut to crack when your front end is already so close to the street.
I think
think it's a matter of public record because it's been in the Tribune, but they'll lose some of their parking soon, too.
Welcome to modernization, is what you're telling me.
So I have one last question. I know at Marion they have valet parking, which makes such a huge difference. Is that something that you're going to be offering here?
I was told I couldn't volunteer that.
We had not thought of valet parking yet, just from some of its operational and volume. But if we open and realize that we're having too many people huffing and puffing and not getting to where they need to be, that'd be something we'd consider.
And you never considered doing a parking study if you didn't feel the need for one?
No. I mean, we're aware of it. We know that the parking lot is full much of the time. I deal with patients that circle the parking lot and, miss appointments are late to use the hand sign, so we're acutely aware of it. So we proactively pursue the parking, and we're starting to decompress the campus.
And when did that start, the decompression?
The lab opened, I want to say 2016. Physical therapy moved just May 15th, I think they opened their doors.
Okay. And that's about another 8 spaces, you said?
Correct.
I do have one question. You don't foresee any problem with the new medical facility that's being built behind you utilizing your employees' parking, encroaching over in there? Because I know that's already, it was a traffic impact when that one was approved, too.
So we're in favor of that building. We'll be locating some of our hospital departments into that building, outpatient imaging and some other diagnostic tests that now are that take place in the hospital. So our employees will park there, and then that patient volume will go there. As far as I know the code and the experience, that building meets code, is appropriately parked, and so I don't see that spilling back over into the hospital. If nothing else, it adds the ability for the hospital to once again relocate patients off the main campus into that building, so it'll help the hospital in terms of parking and flow.
Hopefully.
Okay, thank you very much. Don't go far. I'm going to open it to public comment at this point. If there anybody here in the audience tonight would like to speak on this matter, my only request, and I'm assuming that little speaker slips are sitting there by the door or something. Have we received any speaker slips yet? I'm not going to make a hard and fast requirement. We have a fairly intimate group here tonight. But we appreciate if you do fill out a speaker slip because it does allow us just to get the spelling of the names of the people that are speaking correct and stuff. But is there anyone in the room that would like to come to the podium and speak about this issue here tonight?
Commissioners, good evening. My name is Terry Fiebig. I will fill out it. I promise you I will, after the fact, I'll fill out my speaker slip. Staff, good evening. I am a resident here in the city of Arroyo Grande, and I also serve on the board of directors for both Arroyo Grande and Marion Hospitals. It has been a real pleasure to see this plan develop because you've addressed a number of things that we know. The staff has given very favorable input back to the group that has met with them, and some changes have resulted. I find one of the neatest things about this whole project, though, is the support that the community has given it. A lot of the work that is being done with the emergency department specifically is being done as part of a philanthropic effort that is going on in the community, and millions of dollars are being raised to support this project. Folks coming from the community that really, really know what it's like to go into that emergency department. As Ms. Fowler-Payne commented, she's been in that thing, and I think probably all of us have had that opportunity or an opportunity at one time or another to go in there. And as you're sitting between curtains, the person in the next bed is telling, details that you don't necessarily want to hear, and they certainly don't want you to hear that. Certain bodily functions take place that they don't want to, you know, share with anybody else. HIPAA information, Privacy Act information is given. So this is going to be do so much for our community. It's really, really a pleasure to sit here tonight and to hear your comments, to hear staff's comments come back about this. I can only encourage you to keep on, and we're going to, I think we've given you assurances that our team is going to be looking at things and meeting certain requirements that you've put out there for the future. So thank you very much for so positively considering it, coming back with some great comments, and we certainly look forward to continuing to support our community. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Cuban. Anybody else wish to speak? Seeing none, I will close public comment. Any other, before we entertain a motion, do any other final comments or questions from the commission? Take it away.
No other questions. I see this as a really good improvement, both inside and outside, for the community, not only for, you know, the users of the facility, but the community. The biggest challenge for me in evaluating this is the parking, and I think for the commission as well. But when we look at the parking, I look at how other hospitals function too, just not the ones here in the Five Cities area. I've had parents in hospitals down the San Fernando Valley, Holy Cross, Northridge, all of which has remote parking. It's not next to the front door of the hospital. You have to walk to get there. And in some cases, you even have to pay for parking, believe it or not. So in terms of the remoteness, I'd like to see, you know, at least dedicated parking stalls for the public. I like to see, you know, the emergency parking. I like to see the area assigned for me to have it work so people know how to get to the front door. The comment I have is that may be problematic is how construction is going to be achieved, because literally you're going to have to fence that off all the way across to the back of the sidewalk to the street. Because that driveway is going to be being constructed, the building is going to be constructed, I don't see vehicles, and I see potential of public circulation trying to find their way to the front door. And maybe the solution is they're using the public sidewalk. I don't know. But I think it'd be important to know what an interim or a construction barrier plan would look like, not for this body, but for let people know how they're getting to the front entrance, because the majority of the public parking is going to be the north side. But in a nutshell, it's a great job, good architecture, good architectural treatments around the entire building. I like seeing that the entire building is being addressed as a whole and not just a part being added to match what's there. I would like to see those shrubs change to something taller than what's listed in the landscape plan. But other than that, I think it's a great job, and the needs of the community and servicing the individuals in an emergency override, for me, convenience to a parking stall.
Commissioner George?
I agree with Commissioner Mack, except I don't necessarily agree with the term convenience to a parking stall, more so access to one. So there's a difference between having to walk a little further and then circling and not being able to find a parking spot. So that's where my concern lies. You know, everything that Commissioner Mack has stated, and I've stated it a little bit as well, the design is great. There's definitely a need for it. It's just weighing the pros and cons of removing those parking spots. So I just go back and forth, and I just wonder if we are remiss to not have a parking study to determine, you know, what the need is. Because if people can't find a place to park and they're missing their appointments and they can't get, you know, then that doesn't do the hospital any good either. So, I don't know. I think it's a great project. I just feel like it's a little premature to move on it without knowing exactly the impact of removing the 25 parking spots we'll have on the hospital. So those are my comments.
Commissioner Fowler-Payne.
Yeah. Is there the availability to utilize one of the entrances on, I want to say, I guess the north end of the existing structure until the construction is completed along the frontage so that people parking in that parking lot back there aren't going to have to, you know, like the comment was made, come out to the public sidewalk and go around?
There is an existing entry right here, and this leads directly from that parking lot and goes straight in. This continues down into the main entry of the hospital, and this comes straight into the ER.
Is there a possibility of utilizing that entrance while this is under construction? I know I've been in that entrance before.
So you talked about when this gets closed off, we'll be looking at this entrance as an alternative. We'll need to create some kind of security station there, but it'll, that would be needed as, you say, once this is under construction, passage through here is going to be very difficult for those that are parking back here.
I agree. Thank you.
Okay. So, couple of comments of my own. I am certainly in favor of the project. I'm certainly going to vote for it here tonight, but I do encourage a more thorough parking study be done as far as, you know, this future development. I think that kind of hand-in-hand with the current decompression activities that are taking place are going to be helpful. One of the things that I just know in the back of my mind that with this addition, I don't anticipate a huge increase in activity because the population is not going to increase within the next 2 or 3 years. Certainly, we have increased population, increased need, and increased, you know, activity coming through that hospital. But it's not like we're adding 5 or 10,000 square feet of into a retail shopping center where we're going to be having added traffic coming in with new, you know, retail business, new activity. I see it this as part of just a real effort to make an impacted area way more efficient and way more accessible and hopefully, you know, a faster and better, higher quality response. But with that being done, thinking of a permanent parking study and the permanent, you know, traffic flow around that whole facility, I guess the comment I would make is I'm looking forward to an alternative or a rear opening of some kind, a second opening. My mother-in-law was recently in the acute center, and it's convenient for me to park in the back side, or I just walk from my house as I'm just a couple blocks away. But there, you know, there are accesses into that hospital other than the main, you know, primary opening. And I think that given the way the parking is exists and will exist in the future, that the hospital is going to be certainly well served by identifying a secondary opening and making those readily available for just that traffic. I think addressing some of those needs. But with that being said, I'm happy to entertain a motion from the commissioners here tonight.
I move that we consideration of conditional use permit number 17002, approximately 5,000 square foot addition to the Royal Grande Hospital Emergency Department, location 345 South Halcyon Road. My motion is to approve tonight, along with adding or changing the shrubs to something more vertical in height. Also, signing the parking areas for the public and for the employees. And that's the only two items that I have. And that's my motion, unless anyone wants to add to it.
Can I offer an addition?
Absolutely.
Under Special Conditions 25, all parking required for the hospital expansion shall be provided at all times. If temporary parking is no longer permitted for use due to temporary expiration of temporary permits, permanent parking and all associated infrastructure shall be installed. Somewhere in there, and I don't know, staff is going to have to help us work that. Is it possible that while the hospital works on their master parking plan within the next 2 years, that we require a parking study be done before the parking, the mass, as part of the plan?
Certainly, I would presume anyway that a master plan for the facility would include a parking circulation study.
So I just don't want to assume that.
If we can add that somewhere, certainly.
Then I can support the project tonight, if that's okay with Commissioner Mack's motion.
So in other words, I'm going to take a stab at the language for 25, that at the time that the permanent infrastructure is to be installed, that a parking plan be presented to the Planning Commission for review.
You want to bring it back to the Planning Commission? I just want to make sure that a parking study is done. If it just goes to the Community Development Director, I'm okay with that too. So whatever, I'm leaning in on that. I just want a parking study done because I don't believe that our current codes are accurate. So they're meeting code, and rightfully so, we should approve it because you're meeting the code, but I don't believe the code is current. So to have a parking study to show whether or not there's adequate parking should be part of the process in order to get the master plan.
Okay.
Is that workable under, for the staff? Does that?
I think it's easiest if you just add a condition specifying that and leave the existing 25 alone.
Okay.
Yeah, we can make it a new condition, 25B.
Okay.
Right.
And under that a parking study be provided upon proposal of the permanent facility and to be reviewed by the Community Development Director to be consistent with whatever our new parking standards or parking standards at that time were in effect.
Okay. With that addition, we do need a second for this motion.
I'll second.
Okay. Unless there's a need for any final or additional comments, I'm going to call for a vote for the resolution as it stands with three changes. The first being the requirement for additional vertical landscaping. The second one, I'm going to just say appropriate and adequate signage identifying employee parking and public parking areas. And the third one is to require a formal parking plan as part of that evaluation. Kind of as an addendum to item 25. Not any other comments? Can I get a roll call vote?
Commissioner Mack?
Yes.
Commissioner George?
Yes.
Commissioner Fowler Payne?
Yes.
Chair Morton?
Yes. That passes 4-0. Thank you very much. Appreciate your energies. And at some point, the work is going to really begin now. I've got to have full construction drawings and a lot of other planning, I know, going on this project before it comes to fruition. Don't dawdle. Thank you very much. We just have a couple more items, so rather than try to take a break at this point, if my fellow commissioners don't mind, I would just kind of like power through for the last few minutes of this meeting. We don't have any non-public hearing items in tonight's agenda. It's just on the notice on a couple of the administrative decisions that were made since our last meeting. Are there any kind of comments from staff or any kind of comments or questions from the commissioner on these two administrative decisions?
I have none.
And any communication? observations from any of the commissioners here tonight that, that we'd like to share at this point?
So I'm just confirming that that our next meeting will be at 5 o'clock, and it'll be a joint session with Parks and Rec on June 20th.
That's correct. So from 5 to 6, we would anticipate the joint workshop to occur and then our regular Planning Commission meeting to start at 6 p.m.
Okay. I had some questions with staff. I noticed that on the agenda for the architecture review body that there's changes being proposed to the boutique hotel. Are these substantial changes, and are they going to be coming up before us to see?
Sure. So one of the requirements for the boutique hotel project was that the ARC look at some of the finer details, base materials, the transitional tower, fencing, the roof venting as well, ensuring that the number of roof vents shown in the plans actually is what's required under the code. The more significant change was the reduction of that front entryway feature from a two-story feature to a single-story feature, and the Architectural Review Committee found was in support of that, and so it was not anticipated to be reviewed by the Planning Commission as being found in substantial conformance with the approved project.
Okay. All right. All things being done, meeting's hereby adjourned.